Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Hello, geeks. Social Geek Radio is live. How are you doing tonight, Deb?
I'm doing great, Jack Munson. Yeah, I'm excited, as I always am, but super excited today.
Super excited about a great guest that we have coming up in just a few minutes. But before that, let's geek it out. What do you have for us this week?
Yeah, so years ago, I discovered, you know, that wonderful app of Charity Miles where you can walk, bike, run, kayak, any type of movement that you do. You open up your app to Charity Miles and you choose a charity of your choice to donate your movement to. So technically it's a free app. Your hard work earns money for a charity. So I've been using that for several years, found them, you know, on Social Geek Radio years ago. But what I did today was actually start a team. It's like, you know, it is so great to do things in pairs. You don't want to just do this alone. You need some accountability. You want to do it fun. You want someone to, you know, convince you, oh, you need to exercise today. So I started a Social Geek Radio team on Charity Miles app because I know a lot of our listeners downloaded the app years ago and we mentioned it, and every once in a while I look and they say they're still using it. I said, well, you know what, now join our team, and as a Social Geek Radio team we're going to continue moving for the various charities, but you know, we've got an impact, and I can look at the leaderboard and I can see who's walked or earned, you know, more miles than the other person. So we've got a little bit of accountability. So we just started the team. We already have three team members. Another franchise started one maybe a year ago, and I totally forgot about it, but Fit for Mom. You know, that's a very active franchise. You know, they're out, they're using their strollers and, you know, exercising. So we've got to hit it hard, Jack. Competitive me, I've got to beat Fit for Mom's team. So
does this mean I need to sign up for Charity Miles now? And this is all an attempt to get the run, isn't it? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you use the treadmill. You exercise anyway. So yes, download the app, make your movement count. Let's donate to a charity.
Okay. Please. And the link to join our team will be on the Social Geek Radio Facebook page, I assume.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, it will. Yeah, join our team.
All right, geek it out. Thank you very much. And let's bring our guest in from the green room. Today we are very pleased to welcome Mitch Joel, speaker, author, marketer, digital rock star, and author of such books as Control, Alt, Delete. And he's also the president of the Miriam Agency. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good. I didn't want to leave the green room. It's so lovely in there with all the food and beverages and tasty treats.
Yeah, we
and here I am. You know, I made it up.
We sorted out the M&Ms for you.
I don't
you,
drink, right? But I'll take your word for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We sorted out the M&Ms. I hope that worked out for you very well. So, Mitch, thanks for being here. I saw you recently at the Canadian Franchise Association, and about 30 seconds into your presentation, I thought, wow, this guy would be great for Social Geek Radio. You were right on all of the topics that we love to chat with people about here this week. So thanks for joining us. Tell us about some of the work you're doing with the agency these days.
It's been crazy these days. The sort of quick long story is we started this agency called Twist Image that got acquired by WPP about 3 years back, which is one of the largest advertising networks in the world. We then took seven or eight agencies that they had acquired and all of us rebranded as Miriam about 2+ years ago. So we went from like 100 people in two offices to like 2,400 people in 50 offices in 20+ countries really, really quickly. And it's just been really exciting. You have so many more tools and opportunities and things you can do when you have real global scale. And we were sort of trudging down towards those roads on our own. And just through the acquisition, it really accelerated things. So when people say, like, what's going on? I'm like, what's not going on? It's a lot.
Right. So you're doing that and you're doing a lot of speaking around the country and around the world. One of my favorite things, and I had to ask you about this today, that that you presented recently was this line. Deb, you're going to recognize this line because I've been talking about it for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Technology has removed technology from technology. I just love that. Tell us more about that thought.
Well, what I try to do is I work on when I speak in public, and I'll do between 40 to 60 public speaking events every year. I've been doing that for over a decade. I try and do what I call the Louis C.K. model, where I want to have like 100% new content every year. That doesn't mean in January I roll over and all new content. You sort of work stuff. And then as you work it on the road, it hopefully by the end of the year, it's like 100% new than it was a year ago. You switch stories, move them around. That idea of technology removing technology from technology is actually a holdover from what was my Control Alt Delete, which was my second book in 2013, the sort of presentation around that. And the impetus for that is I'm always marveling at when I sit down with brands and they talk about how long their IT roadmap is, 18 months to roll this out. We're not sure if we should invest in a mobile application. We're a bit slow on e-commerce, et cetera, et cetera. And when you dig into where it's going, a lot of it has to do with that sort of IT legacy infrastructure that they've built over the years. On the other side, you have consumers who've just become exceptionally good at being very fluid with technology. And I was trying to reconcile that. And I realized that really what happened is simply that. Technology got to the point where you don't need an instruction manual. You don't need codes. You're not installing software. You think about your iPhone or your Android device. There's no instruction manual for it. You hit the button. It's on. It's connected. If it does crash, you just sort of hit the button again and it comes back on. It's not like old school technology that was really cumbersome. It was a new language. It was a new thing we had to learn. And as that ubiquity happened and the speed with which it's happening in real time in your pocket, in your hands, and soon it'll be with, you know, augmented and virtual reality everywhere, I just felt like there needed to be a reconciliation. And so when I speak to professional audiences, I think by saying that, it sort of makes them laugh because they realize it's true. Everything they do in their social life, whether it's ordering a car on Uber or ordering plane tickets, you know, through their favorite airline, has become really, really easy, not technical, not complex. You don't have to call in, you know, your kid to be your IT assistant for that activity. And so that to me was just the sort of level set of, or what I call the inflection point of where we're at.
Yeah, I think a good leading indicator of that is I get fewer phone calls from family members now on how to fix something on their phone or laptop because they just don't need me anymore. So, you mentioned Control Alt Delete. That's your most recent book. Tell us the, and I think we all get the title there, but tell us the origin of the book and tell us a little bit more about what's in that that piece of work.
Yeah, I mean, to talk about Control Alt Delete, I have to go back to the first book, which was Six Pixels of Separation, which I think was around 2007, 2008, I'm not really sure. But Six Pixels of Separation as a title was based on my blog and podcast. And I've been writing daily, basically, and doing a weekly podcast since about 2004. So it doesn't sound that long, but it's actually much longer than most people and probably one of the more consistent ones over the years. It never waned at any point. And I sort of knew with Six Pixels of Separation that I landed on a concept. You know, it's a concept everybody's heard, 6 degrees of separation, 6 pixels. We all know what a pixel is. And it sort of is a title that makes you smirk and makes you realize exactly what it is. Following up that, you know, it is sort of a tall order. But I thought of this idea of Control Alt Delete, where it is like we hit this moment in time. Again, this is now, you know, 2011 is probably when I started writing it, of we can reboot business and we can reboot ourselves. And the reboot of ourselves is really about the fact that business has changed because of this reboot. And how do you bring yourself as a professional to work every day? How do you think differently about this rebooted digital first world that we've encountered? And I sort of struggled with the idea because I had the first part, which was the 5 movements that have changed brands forever that most brands aren't paying attention to, was there. It was really when I got the Reboot You part in where I felt the book came together. And so the book is broken up into 2 parts. One is Reboot Business and one is Reboot You. And I really felt that the title, continues, not in the legacy of 6pixels, because it's not that sort of famous or well known that it's sort of become general in the zeitgeist like the Tipping Point has. But I like that idea of creating themes around a sort of common term that's out in the general zeitgeist that has a bit of a tech flair, a bit of a cultural flair, and also if you heard it, you'd sort of smirk.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the spirit of Control Alt Delete too. I wanted that not to just be Control Alt Delete. I wanted it to be Control Alt Delete. How do you reboot your business? How do you reboot yourself in this different world? And again, that sort of does elicit typically a nice little smirk where someone goes, "I totally get it." And that was really the spirit of where I wanted to go in the second book. And again, you go back, it's 5 years ago. It seems like forever.
Yeah, 5 years is really 15 years at this point, right? Or I'm not really sure what the sliding scale is. But
they're not anchors. Like, that's the thing. Books used to really be anchors. There were sort of these moments in time, and that was it. I think what I'm trying to do in all of the content I create is create a lot of fluidity. So it's more like a sort of ocean of stuff versus these sort of landmarks, if you will. And so the crazy thing about both books is that every single day I was still blogging something unique, creating articles and distributing them, putting them all over the place. And it's the same. So people are like, "Wow, really want a new book." I'm like, "Have you been to my blog or have you seen my writing on Medium or LinkedIn?" I mean, it's every day is almost 1,000 words of stuff. So the continuum of the content, I feel, is really consistent if you can sort of zoom out from the sort of anchors that books are and look more at it as like a body of content that I'm creating.
Yeah, I remember a few years ago when people were writing a lot of books about social media, my first thought was always, do you not see the irony in writing a book about social media, right? So it feels like you've taken that fluidity that you talk about and that sort of rebooting your business and rebooting yourself, you're practicing that in the writing that you do, in that you're keeping it fluid and getting ready for whatever the change coming up later this year or next year is going to be. Do you see that as sort of a trend that's continuing with businesses? Are businesses continuing to will they need to continue to reboot themselves this year?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the sort of full-on reboot that we had from traditional business into a very social environment. I feel like we have moved from the sort of social environment now, software and new ways to connect, into almost like the hardware of stuff now. If you think about things like the Internet of Things and connected devices and what's coming with augmented and virtual reality, I feel like we're moving almost from the software-based stuff to the hardware-based stuff that will then need the application layers put on top of it. Now, with that, I still look at the work that I do and I go, well, is there going to be work for me? And the answer is, look, my focus is generally, what are brands doing to connect better to consumers today, with technology being the sort of connection point? And if that's my framework, which it is for my content, for my speaking, for how we service clients at the agency, I don't ever think that that's going to go away. There's always something new with technology. And I half jokingly tell friends and when I'm doing interviews, I do feel the work that I do has a very long and wide runway still. I don't think technology is going to stop. We're just all going to say, okay, well, that's basically it. And every day it changes. I mean, we're recording this conversation at the same fortuitous moment when Facebook is having their big F8 developer conference. And Mark Zuckerberg is very actively pushing this idea that the camera is going to be the sort of next generation of mixed reality or augmented reality. He's talking a lot about voice as navigation. There are massive implications in just that for going the fact that we also have a very emerging world of artificial intelligence coming on. I mean, it came out the other day doing the closing keynote for a big Salesforce event. And this company came out, their co-founder, not Mark Benioff, one of their co-founders came out and basically said, we're going to be an AI first company. And you sort of look at that like sort of sideways going, what does that even mean? And you start digging in and you realize the ability for a brand to have to rethink how they do business because of the pervasiveness and push of technology. And that's happening because there's a lot of money going into it, investments and startups. Yeah, I think brands are always going to have to be thinking about, how do you plan for that? Do they have to fundamentally reboot the way they did when social channels came on and suddenly every brand had to communicate with every customer? We'll see. But I did feel that for Control Alt Delete, it was a very unique moment in time where brands that typically sold to a big retailer or sold through a supplier suddenly on Twitter now had to respond to every single customer with every little complaint, update, or curiosity. And that was a very dynamic shift in how businesses operate. And it's led to a very different shift in how we see board structures, governance, how brands deal with marketing communication. So we'll see. I mean, I'm hopeful that it does force brands to reboot because it just means I'm employable.
Right, right. Well, what's interesting about that is even if they decide they don't need to reboot or fundamentally change how they're doing something, the fact that they have to think about it, right, they need to bring in some experts or they need to, you know, take a big assessment of how they're doing all of their operations and everything constantly, because I think they do get now that the change is happening whether they want it to or not, where, you know, you can't have that, as you mentioned, the 18-month long IT roadmap, because 6 months from now, who knows what's going to come along and just blow everything up. So the fact that they're thinking about it, whether they actually reboot or not, the fact that they're thinking about it is really, I think, a good thing. So keep pushing them, Mitch.
I'm trying.
Working hard at it.
And any other big challenges you see or opportunities you see in marketing and tech over the coming, let's just say for the rest of this year? You mentioned the VR stuff that everybody seems to be looking at. What else do you see as something that brands need to think about?
Yeah, I think you need to think about, you know, virtual and augmented or mixed, whatever it's called. I don't know if there's anything to necessarily 100% do about it right now. It's going to be a bit more of an event horizon than this year. Look, people sort of think of me in some strange way as a futurist. And I always jokingly tell people I'm a presentist, because anything that I thought I might, you know, when I first saw YouTube years and years ago, I just thought, why would anybody use this? It's all 3x3 screen and buffering issues. And you've got, you know, you can buy a $800 huge plasma at Best Buy for nothing. So I don't like to sort of think, oh, well, this is what the future is going to look like, believe me. But I do think right now there is a massive opportunity for brands just looking at tools that can make them more efficient. I'll give you a quick example. If you wanted to do multivariate or just split A-B testing, so I'm going to send two landing pages out to two different audiences, and then based off of the reaction of that, I will put the one that performed better in front of the bigger audience mm-hmm. after that. So you do this little sample test and off you go. This, if you really think about it, you know, it's a website and landing pages and your IT and hosting, very expensive, complex process. Then a company comes along like Unbounce that does this based in Vancouver, small startup, where for a couple bucks a month, they'll run this for you in the cloud. So you don't have to worry about your IT, all that sort of stuff. And then you have literally in the past couple of weeks, Google Optimizer has been offering up split A-B testing tools for free. And I just look at that and wonder how many brands, small, medium, large, B2B, B2C, have thought about that. We can now exponentially deploy split A-B testing for a fraction of what it cost us literally 6 months ago, go there. How many brands have thought about, well, we've got this nice email list and we're sending out emails and we're doing it pretty efficiently, but moved the email list from an email marketing platform to a marketing automation platform where you're mm-hmm. literally doing customer journey and you can segment in a different way and you can automate a lot more of it. There are so many tools that are now, that are currently available, that so few brands really efficiently use. They might think they're using it efficiently, but I would argue that most of them sort of just leverage it as some sort of like simplistic way to do advertising versus thinking about more holistically, how do you bring in the customer, capture them, communicate with them, and really drill down on providing them with some form of customized or more relevant experience. So right now you see brands doing responsive websites. Well, so it just looks better on the mobile. We live in a world of Tinder and Uber and Instagram and swiping right and up and down and just sort of like tap to get what you want. Creating a responsive website where I still have to like zoom in or out and it's frustrating, it's not all the stuff that's there and it's more of an adapt from the big website, insane in a world where we know this year, 2017, 75% of the internet right now traffic will be mobile. So it's just those sort of like little nuanced things that are huge, which don't sound sexy, that are so available to brands today that the ones who call me, like, talk to me about artificial intelligence and talk to me about, I'm like, I can't even find your phone number on your mobile version of your site. And I'm pinching it and my fingers are too fat. So I'm not, you know, it's insane when you really think about it. So I get it. There's a sort of allure to the bright, shiny object of the world. But I think the real opportunity for brands today is to leverage the technology of today.
And make it really, really easier for a customer to do business with you. That seems to be the thing that people are looking too far down the road and not looking at how can I make it easy for somebody to order my pizza or whatever right now, today.
Yeah, and even further is, are we making it easy on ourselves? I mean, like, all these tools exist and we're like running it like, we have, you know, the big website, we got, versus like, how do I really streamline this? Because the technology exists today to do stuff. If you wanted to even test, like, if let's say you had an idea for a new product and you were like, how do we got to launch it, we got to put on the site, you could hop over to Shopify right now and build an e-commerce platform for a couple bucks, literally a month, on what is really a cloud-based system that is, you know, you pay for what you use. It's probably as robust as some of the most complex e-commerce platforms you could ever use. And you can test it. I mean, if it works, then roll it out and deploy it and implement it on your own site. If it doesn't, hit delete on your system admin on your Shopify account and no one even knows you were there. So it's just things like that where we look at things and go, 18-month roadmap and how do we get the e-commerce engine working? Startups have solved for this.
Yeah.
So use those tools.
Startups have solved, and then the big guys come in and just do what the startups are doing. So
absolutely.
Somebody can do it for you. Fascinating stuff, Mitch. In the couple of minutes we have left, if people would like to follow you, connect with you, and perhaps read more on what you're talking about these days, what's the best place for people to find you?
I mean, MitchJoel.com will redirect you to everything of the day. If you just Google Mitch Joel, or if you go to MiramAgency.com, I mean, it's all, I'm pretty searchable.
Yeah.
But then very searchable.
What's your website? It's GOOGLE.com.
Exactly. Yeah. Let me Google that for you. Yeah.
Excellent. Mitch, thanks so much for joining us on Social Geek Radio. It's been a real pleasure, and we hope to chat with you again sometime very soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you, Mitch.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for joining Social Geek Radio. Brought to you by Deb Evans Consulting and Kigo. Unlock your digital potential. Copyright 2017 Social Geek Radio.